Welcome back to Being Fiends, and I sound like shit. I know. Get through it. Get over it. Get over yourselves. I know I've set such a high expectation because this show sounds so damn good, especially as a remote podcast. But we're powering on. We told you we weren't going to fuck up, and we give you episodes on Monday because Sunday's our recording day, which I was all set to go this morning. Fucking stoked. Been sent on to the show probably 2 days ago. Really, really excited because the Kings are coming off a massive dub. Massive huge beam. And my maintenance guy shows up at 8:30.
Did he knock on the door Sunday, and you were just hella confused?
And it's fucking
true. Just like, what the fuck?
No. I was actually out driving Uber pretty early this morning, and I went to a coffee shop. I watched the Wolves game back this morning. I was having the perfect morning getting ready for this pod.
He was prepping.
And
people.
So about 8 o'clock, I'm finishing driving Uber. I was like, all right, I know Hunter's gonna end up waking up late. Like that just happens every single time. Sure enough, I get a text, can we push it back till 10? And then you were ready to go by 9:15. At that point, the maintenance guy is already balls deep into this project, replacing our screen, which we're getting a new screen door, a nice metal screen door. Looks great. And then, you know, it's just been nonstop. It is 2 o'clock and he's still in there and probably got another couple hours.
Dude, he's grinding those hourly,
so
those hour numbers up. He's just going to hit your landlord with a fat fee. He's going to be like, what did I pay for here? You know, he's working for like $100 an hour.
Well, my roommate paid him to do some side jobs, so I might pay him to hang up this massive bookshelf that I just swooped from my roommate. So I might pay him, you know, 20-40 bucks to do it because I don't want to do it. I've been fucking still putting together. This is weekend two, but last week was at my nephew's birthday party, so I really had to finish unpacking my room. And sure enough, my Wi-Fi's been out pretty much all day, and it was slow last week, so that was part of the reason why the pod came out a little later on Tuesday instead of Monday night. So just kind of a shit show. I love it here. I'm enjoying it. This is my first mobile pod, so I'm actually in my car. I might get out and go walk on the beach towards the end of the pod. Shit, who knows? It's pretty windy.
Soothing
I won't do that to you.
Sounds of crashing waves.
Yeah. But anyways, so that's the elaborate. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. This isn't going to be a long pod. The Kings really only had two games, and I will put my hand up. I didn't even get to watch the Nuggets game. Hunter, I went to dinner with two of our former roommates from college, Spence Hoffman and Lalo Guzman. It was a good time. Good time to see the boys. We're all back in the Bay in different parts. It's crazy.
I always feel that I'm randomly talking to Lalo about random things, and I'm like, fuck, dude, I miss this dude. Like, you know, hot-tempered Lalo in the house was usually never pointed at me, so always as the spectator of just Lalo's subtle craziness was always hilarious. So
I miss the battles.
Absolutely lovable human being. Just lovable human beings, though.
Big teddy bear.
We have one good game to talk about. One kind of good game to talk about that we ended up taking the L on, but I think we're gonna do good here. I was like, damn, are we gonna have to wait for? I was like, we're gonna wait again another day, and I was like, no, this isn't happening. We're running this today at all costs.
At all costs, this is, you know, finding a way, you know, fighting through the adversity. This is still gonna be listenable, you know, in real time. I don't quite know how it sounds, but hey. I'm gonna put some effort in, grind it tonight, and we'll have a good product out. So as the listeners hearing it, you're hearing a good product. That there's a lot of work and emotion and, you know, blood, sweat, and tears went into this one.
Begin
so.
Laser ignition sequence.
Begin laser ignition.
Yeah, let's dive into the Nuggets game, Hunter. Like I said, I was at dinner. I didn't really want to be on my phone.
You're a better man than me.
I hate, dude, with the new job too, I still like these 4 and 5 and 6 o'clock starts are fucking me up, man, because I don't get home till 6 o'clock. So then I'm like frazzled and scrambled by the time I get home. I'm trying to, you know, like decompress, light a joint, make some dinner, but also the Kings game's going. So I need more 7 o'clock starts. I need more home games, but it's not happening with the road trips that are coming up. But talk to me about the Nuggets game. No Fox. Definitely a problem.
Definitely a problem. And, you know, we came into this game winning 3 in a row against these guys. So it was like the writing was on the wall. It was like, no way. They look over us. They're at home. This is the healthiest they've been against us all season. I think they played the first game against us with Jamal Murray. But besides the last two games, we haven't played him. And, dude, he was cooking. It was a great first half. The Kings came out and we were only down by – it was very similar to the Minnesota game, honestly. We came out really hot, went up by about 10. Nuggets closed the distance going into the half. And I was like, okay. I was like, Kings are fighting hard without De'Aaron. Davion was still starting, which was pissing me off. We'll get to that. But overall, the first half was really good. Keegan was making my take that he's better than Michael Porter Jr. I was feeling good about that take. How do you feel about that take, Caleb? I felt there was some agreement through the text message, but what do you think about that take?
Yeah, you said this during the game, right? You texted me this, and I said, "Hot, that's hot."
Yeah,
that's
a hot take. Yeah, during the game, it was a hot take during the game. But then I looked at his stats this year, and I was like, "I'm running with it."
What are his? They're pretty comparable, right?
Yeah, their numbers are pretty comparable. MPJ scoring is averaging down like a little bit, so it's.
So what's he at? Like, is he at 16 to 18 range?
16 and a half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 16
yeah,
and a half.
He's kind of had an underwhelming season, I would say. I mean, we've seen him play 4 times, and I haven't been overly impressed any of the games. So I as far as the growth that Keegan's had, I mean, MPJ was hurt a lot of his rookie year, and he's probably still learning his body and his game just as much as Keegan is, even though he's 3 or 4 years older and has a championship ring. I still think Michael Porter Jr. is not a finished product. And we jokingly said the Kings are going to draft Michael Porter Jr. And, like, that was the doomsday pick for us. We didn't think it was going to get to Marvin Bagley, but it did. We thought the bust of that draft was Vlade being – because we were linked to MPJ for so fucking long. And I was like, no way they're going to draft a hurt guy that has potential. And we would have had – like, they went with Scal, Harry Giles. Like, they really rolled the dice on high school prospect players that never really turned out to be good. Ben McLemore. So they went raw talent. And so – I thought, yeah, fuck it. I'll take MPJ over Marvin Bagley, and we still got Bagley. But in regards to
funny
Keegan,
stories came out. Like,
go ahead.
It was just like stories came out a year, like a couple years later after that, like post Vlade's firing and everything, and they were telling about that draft story, and it was like, oh, I was expecting, it was like, oh, the Kings were going to pick Luka, but then they decided last minute to pick Marvin. They said that it was never Luka or Marvin. It was always MPJ or Marvin for the Kings. Yeah. And that made it just so much fucking worse. I was like, so Luka, like, wasn't even one or two on the draft board for them, like, by the time they were ready to take their pick. But, hey, hindsight, we'd be fucking living large with MPJ.
Yeah, I'd be ecstatic of that, you know. I think he would already had more of a load. I think he would have been pretty solidified as number two option, I think, if he would have grew with Fox. Because he would compliment Fox in some pretty good ways, as well as he's just a knockdown shooter, slasher kind of guy. But honestly, I think Keegan's got a higher ceiling just based off his growth in the first 2 years. Next year will be the year where it'll be an actual comparison. Because if Keegan has another year of averaging 16, it's like, well, okay, they're similar players. But if Keegan takes another leap, I think it'll be clear that he's probably the better player. I just think he's a better on-ball defender. He's more versatile defensively. Yeah, dude, he is so hard to score on when he gets in position, no matter if it's on the wing or a guy. Like, he doesn't let little guys score on him in the post either, and that's what's so phenomenal about his defense. He was in the, I don't want to jump too ahead to the Wolves game, but in the Wolves game, he was just as dominant defensively as I thought Gobert was for the Wolves defensively. Like, that was, to me, the side matchup as I rewatched it this morning. Like, Keegan was just involved in fucking everything defensively and just was all over the place. And the stats show, so fuck yeah, dude. I'm all aboard that take. Give me the Keegan is better than MPJ in year two. Sign it, throw it on Twitter. Let's get it on the Beam account. I also got to give you your flowers on another take that you had on the last pod, but we'll get to that as well. So any other takes from this Nuggets game? Because it doesn't sound like we were ever in the game outside of blowing the 15-point lead in the second quarter.
Which is typical. No, this was a very Luke Walton Kings-esque performance. Play a little bit over what the roster had that night. Like, just the energy. We were just making shots. That was how we were staying in the game. We got out to an early lead. But it was very Luke Walton-esque. It was 35-17 in the third quarter, and the game was just, it was over. I mean, we talk about guys getting robbed of all-star games, and yet to this point, Jamal Murray has never made an all-star team, and he's the second option on a championship squad, and no one denies that. It's crazy that he's never gotten, like, this guy's on an amazing championship roster. He's going to be on the all-star team no matter what. And it was just crazy. He wasn't even in the snubs list. No one even talked about it this year. And I know he's been hurt, but phenomenal player, 13 of 15.
That's what I hate. That's why I hate the Jokic, and not to take shine away from Jamal, but that's why I hate the Jokic hate from the national media at times. Is like, look, this dude really is the best player head and shoulders in the league. And I don't think it's close, because if you look, go down the line, like, the Kings probably have two very similar rosters as far as talent wise and talent discrepancy. I don't think the Nuggets, outside of Jokic, if you just took Jokic off, the Kings have a better roster. They have the two stars, but Jokic is so much better than Fox that it's like the Nuggets are a championship contender and the Kings aren't. Because Fox and Sabonis, some nights are, and some people can make an argument that Sabonis is the more important player on this team. Some can make the argument that Fox is. They're pretty neck and neck. Jokic is so much better than Jamal, but at the same time, Jamal is in that same category as De'Aaron and Sabonis. So that's really the difference. And then Aaron Gordon and MPJ, Aaron Gordon, if the Kings had that type of player, that's where the rosters would get really, really comparable. But the Kings, Keegan's pretty much that player for us. So I don't know. I love your point about Jamal Murray, but it also, I think it highlights how fucking good Jokic is.
Yeah, he was just fucking cruising this game. You know, there's like been jokes that, like, on nights where they don't play on national TV, or if they don't play against like Western or Eastern Conference contenders, he refuses to shoot over 15 shots. And he went 5 of 9 from the field, 14 boards, 11 assists, plus 37. He's just insane, dude. He's like, he's a 7'1", 300-pound ballerina who also just got amazing touch. He's a freak of nature, dude. And it's like, in an era where it's like, just like freakish athleticism and size that we've never seen before, he just, like, no one gives him credit for just how much of a specimen he is on the floor. Like, no one, like, talks about how dominant he is because of his frame and how athletic he is for his size. And it's just because he's not an above the rim player, people would say, but just by his presence, he's a good defender too. He's an amazing player. And I think he's by far the best player in the league. Like you said, I mean, Giannis is more than a tick behind him, and Luka is on that Harden track where I don't know if he's the best player in the league or if he's just the highest usage player in the league. And he's also awesome. I think right now it's Nikola Jokic and then everybody else. Like, and that makes the Nuggets by far the easiest team to bet on in any playoff series. I mean, if they're healthy, engaged on defense, and Jokic is almost unstoppable, they're so hard to beat. Like, without a clear-cut second tier, like a number one tier, like all-star. Like, Booker Beal and Durant are obviously like all like A minus players. And I don't.
We gotta drop Bradley. I'm tired of this Bradley. Bradley Beal is a B player, dude. He's in the Jamal Murray category. I'm sorry. I just don't think Bradley Beal is in the same category as any of those. He's never been like. He's been hurt one. Like that's the biggest thing. He's a very injury prone player, and he just hasn't. To me, is not. I guess I didn't watch him enough in the Wizards, but they never did anything. Like, if he was an A player, the Wizards would have made more noise with just Bradley Beal. But that's nor here nor there. I totally understand your point. The same with the Clippers. You know, Kawhi and Paul George. Those are A-type players. Like, I'm not putting Bradley Beal in the same category as Kawhi and Paul George or Booker and Durant. But I know. I see what you're saying. I mean,
the point still stands. The point stands.
The point stands. Point's very valid. Or even the Pelicans' two stars are B.I. and Zion, which are very comparable to Fox and Sabonis. The weird thing about the Suns is they have such a bad roster outside of those three guys that they have regressed to our level. And then OKC and Minnesota are just top to bottom the deepest rosters in the West. It's really
– and there's no one the Lakers or the Warriors would love to play more in the first round either.
Exactly.
I feel like it's – we'll get there on the Minnesota game and the takes of – the loud Daniels. Yeah, this game went to shit. I think we should move on to the more bright side of things and the Malik Monk game. Caleb,
dude,
take the wheel.
Dude, I'm glad that I literally said this on the last pod. Like, we've just been so spot on with our takes on Malik Monk. And once again, Fox is out. I kind of knew that Fox would be out, and I kind of knew that Malik would step up. The interesting stat for Malik in this game is he had 4 points with 4 minutes left to go in the third, and then he scored the next 9 in a row or 11 in a row to end the quarter, and then just went nuclear in the fourth quarter in overtime. And when he gets going, man, he's one of the funnest players to watch in the entire NBA. He's the funnest player to watch on this team. Even when he's cooking, like this is might be a little bit of a hot take, but maybe it's because it's less frequent, but – I'd rather watch Malik take over a game than Fox take over a game. There, it feels different when it's coming from your sixth man. It just feels fucking like, damn, we really got a guy that can get us 40. And that is so important. And why I think, and the other stat that came out of this game, the Kings are 7-3 against Denver, OKC, and the Wolves this year. And it's because of got like that's why Malik Monk to me is the third most important player on this team, because I could feel really, really comfortable him doing this a game or two, if not two, in the playoffs, where it's like, holy shit, Malik Monk just won us 2 games in a playoff series that got us out of the first round when we couldn't, you know, we had no perception or real like there wasn't, you know, a narrative that we could win a series. But against any of those three teams, I mean, I don't think we're a 4-game sweep like Jaden McDaniels says that the Wolves are after the Kings have beat them twice in Minnesota. And did Fox play in that first Minnesota game?
No, the 2 times we beat them at home, he was out on both.
He's been out, right. So it's like, dude, we beat you twice without our best player. And once again, I don't hold a whole lot of stock in a split series, because I think a split season series is, you know, it's pretty typical. It's when a team beats you 4 times where it really is fucking scary, like the Pelicans.
Pelicans.
But the Nuggets, they knew that they had to get that one game, because that one game, I was like, okay, cool. Even though Fox is out, like, we couldn't have got swept, because getting swept is a whole different thing. So I don't know. I think, once again, like having Malik Monk be able to just say, all right, guys, I'm going to just put the team on my back. I know we got to win this game. It'd be interesting to know who called the players-only meeting. I know Malik is the one that spilled it to the media, and then Mike Brown confirmed it with, like, the giddiest Mike Brown interview ever I've ever seen in my life. Like, he was just like, finally. So I just went out and had a drink because – my guys finally figured it out to have a fucking team meeting. But that's what I mean, is this team is still so young. And Mike, he's just been kind of calling it out, and he hasn't been, you know, he's been the very much like, I'm not going to force these guys to do it. If they don't want to take the next step, then fine. We'll just live right here. But that's, he's challenged them, and it's like, if you guys, it's on you now. Which I don't love how he kind of came and said, I've kind of taken them to where I could take them, and it's time for them to just go. But I definitely understand where he's coming from, because he has laid the foundation and put it out there and just been like, all right, guys, like, here it is. Here's what we need to do. Here's the blueprint, you know. And I think,
yeah, which we haven't had in years from a coach, where it's like, he knows what he wants. He's going to tell you daily what he wants, and it's up to you to either execute it or fall on your face trying, I guess. But I don't know, man. This was an awesome game. I was watching in the first quarter before we went to the movie, and I was looking at my phone, and I was like, fuck, we're up 20-6. I need to turn this on. And of course, typical, by the time I get to the movie and I look, I'm like, fuck, we're up 1 at half. I was like, yep, we're going to backslide here. But Anthony Edwards, one of his 15 baby mamas decided to have a kid at halftime, and he was out.
Yeah, so I got off work a little late, so I missed the first half. I honestly, we're horrible, but this is a No Shame podcast. And we're fans, just like you guys. That's the point. You know, that's the whole entire idea here, is we don't necessarily know that much more than anybody else, but, you know, we're qualified. We've been watching this team for 20 plus years. Like, I get to have my fan opinion. But, yeah, you know, shit happens. Like, I get off work late, and not all the time. Like, I got blacked out of the radio stream now down in Monterey. That's how deep this fucking blackout is. Is I can't even get the I can't even stream. I can't even stream my TuneIn radio app that I've been enjoying. That's really, it's higher quality than, because you listen through it through an app, so it's way higher audio quality than listening to the radio station. And I can't get 1140 down here anyway. It's just fucked. So that's where we're at. Like, some of these games I miss, and like, I got to rewatch it this morning. And so the other two takeaways from this game is your Keon Ellis takes were kind of spot on. He got the start, had a great performance defensively. I thought his energy was great. Just had some sick swipes on Towns, like just ripping the ball, just snatching it from him in the paint. Like, he does provide a probably, just by body type and his length is so much more valuable than Davion's. Unfortunately, we're there. And Davion, honestly, dude, had probably, just when I said Davion's not going to get you 10 plus, well, I said once every 2 weeks, so we won't get this for another maybe 2 or 3 weeks. But starts out, like, makes his first 5 shots in the first half, and
he's a fucking confusing player, man.
We were both right about our fucking backup point guards. They both stepped up.
Which the Kings fucking needed, man. I mean, it's like, I'm not asking you to do what De'Aaron does, but just bring it in a different way, man. Just be more consistently there on defense than De'Aaron is. And I'm not saying, because De'Aaron is, he is what he is on defense. He's never going to be truly elite, because he just expends way too much effort on offense. But when he's locked in on defense, there's not many guys that can move with guards the way that De'Aaron can move. And I just want you, Keon, and Davion to just make that your purpose all game, to do that the whole time. You guys can combine for in between 8 to 15 points, and that is perfectly fine, as long as you bring consistent defensive effort when De'Aaron's out. And I just think Davion's limited in that area because of his size, and guards are only getting bigger in the league, so he's only getting smaller out there, which is just a sad fact. You know, I mean, they dealt with this Isaiah Thomas, who is just twice the player Davion Mitchell is, but he's not in the league anymore because it's not the effort. That's the problem. He just literally physically can't play defense because he's so small. And that's part of that's part of Trey Young's problem too, which that's completely in left field, but it's the same type of body type that guys are under 6 feet. And, well, dude, I mean, it's like, you say what you want about Trae Young. He's never going to be like Steph Curry, where Steph is just a perfectly just perfectly fine team defender. Like, they're so small.
Steph's 6'3".
Yeah, it's just and people forget that is also the problem. Like, it's just like people are like think Steph's small, like a lot of these guards, and he's not.
It's really not.
So I think Keon is the answer, a backup point guard. He brings a different dynamic than De'Aaron does. He brings more defensively, in my opinion, than Davion does at this point. And, you know, he only shot 2 times, so I can't be completely proven right when Davion went 7 of 8 from the field.
He was active, though, and he got a steal and led Malik on an alley-oop. That was one of my favorite plays of the game.
I saw that in the highlight. That was sick.
This is the other narrative that I'm spin zoning it, and I fucking love it. Let's just embrace DeMontis as the villain, because it's hilarious. Like, Minnesota Twitter, Rudy Gobert Muse account or whatever was fucking just bitching. I don't have any tweets pulled up because I'm obviously in my car, but I had them earlier, and like, it's hilarious. Like, the elbow narrative, like, if Sabonis couldn't elbow, his stats would be garbage. It's just hilarious. And actually, I think, like,
we need to embrace it.
And because the best tweet that we have so far on Beam Fiends, I got like 8 likes because I quote tweeted, I forget who I quote tweeted, but they posted the clip of Malika Andrews, Perk. So Perk was basically,
I think it was Matt George, our Bane.
Dude, as much as I hate that panel, and basically the tweet was, this is the worst panel of all time, LOL, why do you care? Stop caring, basically. I said the same thing to Matt George. I was like, stop. Like, this is a waste. Like, stop being mad at the people that you expect to fucking, we know. Like, we know the bias, like, they don't watch. Like, that panel does not watch the NBA. They watch the same fucking teams because that's the media deal
they talk, like, about every day.
They have to watch the Lakers and the Warriors and the Celtics and the teams that they can sell high ad dollars to, and that's who they're going to broadcast. Do not listen to the takes they have about the fucking small market teams that they don't watch. Like, they don't watch them. However,
this isn't the NFL.
However, Perk's kind of the man. And is the one Kings loyalist on that panel and is always advocating for the Kings. And he was advocating for Sabonis as an MVP candidate, and they all laugh, which, yeah, it annoyed me at first.
It wasn't even like he was advocating. It was more like someone made a point about stats mattering. Like, I think it was like over like a Luka to Jason Tatum debate. Like, he said, like, at the end of the day, when stats are that high, like, it has to matter. And Perk was like, well, you know, the one guy that's leading the league in double-doubles and triple-doubles, you know, two of the most important, like, stat numbers in the entire league, can't even sniff your guys' list or even your mindset. And everyone looked at him and they were like,
laughed.
Well, this guy's a fucking idiot. Like, laughed. They, like, laughed. Yeah. And he's like, well, I mean, I'm just saying, you just said that stats matter, and I'm pointing out a guy that has insanely good stats, and you just don't fucking care. So it's like, he literally was saying, like, it's selective on when they think stats matter and when they think winning matters. And that's the media, man. It's like they pick what they pick a stat, or they pick a narrative they want to latch onto. And it's funny to laugh at Domas because he's just so awesome, yet so normal looking at the same time.
So that's where, I mean, we're non-players. We never played. Everybody on that panel besides Perk is a non-player, non-athlete. The difference is we don't sit up here and think and, like, say that stuff to be fact about other teams that we just openly don't watch. That's the issue with NBA national media, is there's just too many games. There's just too much to keep up with to have takes. Like, I feel qualified to have Kings takes more than anything in my life, because this is the time I probably spent more time studying, researching, watching. I've given more time to the Kings, and 1A would be to the Raiders, but probably more time to the Kings pound for pound than any other thing in my life. So naturally, like, this is the most free, like, guilt-free that I talk is talking Kings, because I feel very qualified as a fan. From the fan's perspective, I'm not trying to talk from an analyst perspective that I actually know shit to be fact, but this is our viewpoint. And So that's what I like, those national media ESPN panels. It's like, yeah, you get three Kings games a year. I really don't expect you to know shit about the Kings, because I don't know shit about, I don't even know shit about the Warriors on a night-to-night basis this year. And all my friends are Warrior fans. So outside of our select few Kings group, you know, it's very, very interesting that we still like hold them up to be to this higher standard. And it's like, no, just break them down to the pedestal, embrace the villain mentality with Sabonis, and let's fucking rock. Cause now it's cool. They've created a villain that we didn't have. And if Sabonis is our villain and he's not really a villain, that's a good villain. Like, maybe we don't need that enforcer, and it's just, we just hammer home the Sabonis narrative and make it bad boy boner, baby.
Dude, well, I mean, and he's got a smug attitude when he's out there on the floor. He plays fiery as hell, like, obviously, like, and then we get into the post game and he's just like a lovable oaf, but not an oaf, he's a smart guy. But it's just like, if the national media wants to turn on Sabonis for God knows what reason, let's embrace it. Let's prop it up. You know they're talking about it. I mean, everybody talks about the bulletin board material. And these guys listen to this shit. I mean, it's not like it's the 1960s where some obscure like guy writes an article about somebody or a random player and they never hear about it, dude. It's like, if you're on social media, man, and if you're watching like any sports TV, like that shit's right in your face, and it's so hard to avoid as an athlete. So I feel like in this day and age, you got to find a balance between like using it as fuel and not worrying about it at the same time.
Yeah.
And everybody does it differently.
Definitely. So let's take the fuel. I'm glad that I'm glad that the perk could ruffle some feathers there, and it just kind of, it just alienates that panel and makes that panel look stupid. And like, that's all that matters. So don't worry about their take. Just know that it's a very uneducated take. It's the same reason why I'm not sitting here talking about, because I don't watch. Like, I watch the Kings every single night, except, you know, a few nights here and there. Do you think any of those people sitting on the ESPN panel has watched consistently one team, you know, for more than 30 games? There's zero chance. Zero chance to me. Maybe. Maybe I'm really discrediting them, but all of them do multiple things and wear multiple hats and all have separate shows at ESPN. So it's not like they just do that panel. Like, Wilbon has PTI, so he's paying attention to all other sports. Malika Andrews is a quote-unquote journalist. She's not. She just is a moderator / journalist, I guess. Sideline reporter. Zach Lowe is one of the NBA leading insiders. And then you have Perk, which Perk's just the fucking the ex-player that has a personality. So, yeah, I don't know why I went all the way down to dissect it, but it's dumb and it's outdated. It's an outdated model. But this game was really, really fun. You missed a really fun one. As far as Kings went to overtime, I thought all three bigs had five fouls going into overtime. So I hit the beam feed chat and I was like, the first big to foul out loses this game. And
hey,
1 minute
out
later,
of three of them did foul out.
Yeah. But Sabonis was the first one to foul out, and I was just like, well, this is fucked. And this is where the game changed. Trey Lyles came in and had three just massive plays. He had a pin block off the backboard that with about, I think, a minute and a half left in overtime. Had a huge offensive rebound, and the Kings ended up converting and then going back ahead, and then – or just extending, I think they were already ahead, extended the clock, and then had another big defensive board to seal the game. It was just like, Trey Lyles, we forgot to do Ned Stark of the Week last week, and we were both going to kind of crucify Trey Lyles because he's been pretty quiet shooting the ball, and he didn't really shoot the ball that well tonight, but amongst the towers, like, this is a tough game. This is the toughest ask for Trey Lyles is to go play small ball five against literally the biggest fucking team in the NBA, who was playing three centers predominantly tonight. They literally had Naz Reid at this small forward, and it was working because he can stretch the floor and so can Kat. It's so interesting how this team is built, and it's crazy how fucking good they are. And we kind of definitely lucked out with Ant going to the locker room, and you know, they lucked out not having Fox, like not facing Fox, but they went into the game thinking they would have had Ant And if they have Ant, they definitely win this game. But yeah, shout out Trey Lyles for a gangster utility, like the ultimate Swiss Army thing to do in the fourth quarter, or their overtime. I mean, and yeah, man, that was one of my other big takeaways that I really wanted to talk about was Trey. I mean, Sabonis did great as well, facing those two guys all night and got his, and you know, Cat didn't have 60, so that's good.
That's always fire.
Shout out Harrison Barnes. He did pretty well on Cat too at times. And this team isn't as scary of a matchup. Like, I'm way more worried about the Clippers. I'm way more worried about the Nuggets. I'm honestly I don't know. Like, I really, now that we really haven't talked a lot about this, about playoff matchups and teams that we feel comfortable beating, but Minnesota and OKC, obviously we don't want to be in the play-in, but if those are the top two seeds, then do we want to play the Nuggets, really? Like, I know we beat them three times this year. But does that mean we really think we could beat them seven times this year? Like, that's fucking crazy. No chance. So you're really looking – it's almost like last year, too, where two out of the three teams in the upper half of the West didn't have – I mean, the Grizzlies had some playoff experience going into last year, but we're looking at two – unexperienced OKC and Minnesota teams, which I'm not saying the Kings are going to beat them in a seven game series straight up, but I definitely think it's not a walk in the park. It's definitely not a Jaden McDaniels sweep like he was talking crazy after the game, or was it before the game? I don't remember.
No, it was after the game, but still, yeah. I mean,
because he had a career high 26. And I feel like, bro, you average 9 a game. You shouldn't be talking that crazy.
Well, I mean, it's gonna piss those guys' fan bases off, because I mean, if it ends like it is now, and let's just say the Lakers and the Warriors get that 7-8 spot, and they're matched up both against OKC and Minnesota, they're gonna be favorites. Both of them are, just like how the Warriors were favorites against the Kings last year, and we were like, well, we were the better regular season team, we got the confidence, blah 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 blah, and you know, we ended up losing. So, and the Lakers went into that Memphis series and they were actually dogs, but they went into that series and they gentlemen sweeped them. It's just experience and stars matter, and I don't trust Minnesota and OKC that far yet. And I mean, they could shock me and go on a run to the Western Conference Finals easily, and we'll all be wrong and eating crow, but as an outsider's perspective, I mean, you can't help but be like, yeah, dude, I would much rather play those teams than the Clippers and the Suns and the Nuggets especially. And I mean, fuck the Pelicans. I mean, that's a little greedy, but I mean,
the playoff whistle is what also scares me, because all those teams that you just mentioned that we're scared of, like, we're not getting the whistle against the Suns. We're not getting the whistle against the Clippers. And though if there's four guys, two on each of those rosters, that at any point, actually at Harden into the mix, sorry, forgot about that's three on the Clippers that at any point can get free throws, and they have the star playoff whistle, which there's definitely a hierarchy of stars in the West, as far as LeBron and Steph are still, you know, the NBA really wants to get are going to do everything in their power as far as getting the Lakers and either the Lakers and Warriors into the play-in spot, or if not both,
you're gonna get fined for this.
I should, yeah, I am gonna get fined.
you're gonna get fined. You're gonna get a fine for this.
Hey, but I mean, knowing that to be the either way, I want a crack. I wouldn't be surprised if OKC or Minnesota got to the Western Conference. That wouldn't surprise me if they got to the Western Conference Finals, but it also wouldn't surprise me if they got taken out. Like, I think it would surprise me if the Nuggets lost a first-round series and the Clippers lost a first-round series. Outside of that, anything I think could go.
Anything goes.
Anything goes.
Which, I mean, that's exciting in and of itself. I mean, There used to be years where it was like the top four seeds were so strong that it was like those first round series were just, it was like everyone was like, why do we need seven game first half, first round series. Like, these teams are just wiping these lower teams. Like, well, let's just make it a 5-game series. But I don't think it's going to be that way this year. I think there's going to be multiple series that go 7 in the first round of the playoffs, and it's going to be really difficult, whoever runs the gauntlet, to get out of the West.
Well, that's why I think Keegan Murray and Malik Monk are the X factors, because those are two guys that they can get hot and they can get 30 and 40 points. And star for star, we're like OKC in that scenario. You know, we need Keegan Murray to outplay Jalen Green, you know. Jalen Green, not Jalen. Is it Jalen Green? Is that his name?
No. Are you talking about Jaden McDaniels?
No, OKC is fucking...
You're talking about... Yeah, you're talking about Jalen Williams.
Jalen Williams. I got Jalen Green. It's all those fucking young Jalens. There's two Jalens on the Rockets. Yeah. There's two Jalens on the fucking Thunder.
There's a Jalen and a Jaren, and then there's two Jalen Williams on the same team. It's fucking confusing.
So confusing. Yes,
it's like,
Jalen Williams.
Like me with the it's me with the Kesslers.
It's so bad. Gary Gerald was hilarious on the call last time. But like Keegan Murray, you know, he's going to, like for the Kings to win a playoff series, that's what I was talking about earlier, Malik Monk's going to have a 35-plus game, or Keegan Murray's going to have one of those games. Like, we know we're going to get out of Fox and Sabonis, but I don't think them two, and there's going to be a combination where one of them's off and doesn't have their best game. And so that's where I'm saying when it gets star-heavy and, like, yes, Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes are really important and Trey Lyles, but it literally gets in that order. It's Malik and Keegan. If they don't show up, we could get swept. If they show up and Malik decides to go a whole playoff series averaging more than 20, and then a game where he goes nuclear and him and Fox combine for 70, you know, if they do that couple
games. That's
basically
how the Warriors series went. I mean, he was our number two scorer. I mean, he was our second most important player. And I honestly think when we get in the first round of the playoffs, I think it could be the same thing again. Like, he is the X factor for this team. And I think the second X factor is, I don't even would say Malik's an X factor, because he needs to play above his averages in the playoffs if the Kings want a chance. And I think
that's why he
plays at his.
That's what I was saying on the last pod. I was making that point of, like, Malik's the third best player on this team. Like, I know that still needs to be Keegan.
When it matters,
like,
he needs to be.
Yeah, and Malik wants that. I mean, you see he wants the sixth man of the year. Like, normally I wouldn't – like, he after that game, I think I got it locked up. Yep, I got it locked up. No, I put together another couple more games like this. Yep, this is mine. And I'm like – normally, I because I'm not that kind of person, but they need that. Like, that's so, like, that got me so fired up. Like, okay, no, they have a fucking dog that, you know, is a little full of himself, and I like that. And that's Malik. That's, you need that energy, you need that spark, especially in the playoffs, to get over the hump. And so, he is as important to this team as Manu Ginobili was to the Dynasty Spurs. And this is the start of the Dynasty for the Kings. So, like, you know, it's got
to... Fuck yeah, it is.
It's
got to start somewhere, baby.
I'm going to just segue this because I don't want to talk that much more about him, but King of the Week, Malik Monk.
Can we just unanimously give it to him?
Yeah, we're no debating here. King of the Week, Malik Monk. You know, crown him. I think that's his first.
Do you know what Malik means? Do you know what Malik means in Arabic? Do you know what Malik means in Arabic, Caleb? I can remember.
I don't. Enlighten me.
Oh, you don't remember? Mark always tells us it means king, baby. I mean, he's the king of the week. His name means fucking king. If you're a Kings fan and haven't heard that one 1,000 times, you already know. It was a weird week, man. I mean, it was tough to give out awards with only 2 games to go off of. Like, I don't blame anyone for the Nuggets loss. So no. It's like, whose head's going to roll for that performance? Yeah. It's just De'Aaron's knee is the Ned Stark of the week. I mean, it's like, we go into a week and it's like Minnesota, Denver on the road, both those games. And it's like, well,
scary.
If we don't go 0-2, we're feeling good about that. If we get a win in either one of those, and in that sense, I think the Kings won this week just as a team. We easily could have went 0-2. I mean, standings watching at this point is just maddening. It's just shit changes so much. I mean, everybody's not even going to think about it. I mean, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. But it's just, it's maddening at this point. And there's no point in being like, I mean, the Kings went 2-3 last week. We were at the five spot. We lost to Denver. We fell down to the 8. And then we won against Minnesota and we're back up to 6. It's not even fucking worth it.
So, because we have a matchup this week. Who are you more worried about sneaking in? Not because they wouldn't play the Kings, but knocking the Kings out, potentially the Lakers, the Warriors, or both. If you had to pick one or the two, who do you think maybe is a little bit more scary through the stretch, down the stretch? Oh. Who are you more worried about?
I'm more worried about the Warriors for obvious reasons. Is just PTSD for one.
Yeah.
Steph Curry against the Kings for two. Mm-hmm. Steph Curry against the Kings is just like, it was like about 8 years ago, it was Klay that was always just eating the Kings alive. But I mean, even these games this year when the Kings split, and both times the Kings won, Steph went absolutely nuclear. He has one game in the 50s and one in the 40s. He plays different against the Kings. He sees green when he plays the Kings. So I'm definitely more in a single game matchup, the Warriors. But I mean, they both bring very similar scariness. I mean, because you know, playoff whistles.
Yeah.
Especially the Lakers, dude. I mean, they're still the ultimate get a foul team in the entire league by like a crazy margin. It's 2 years in a row. So I mean, you can't say it's all the refs. I mean, give the Lakers their flowers, I guess, on getting to the line, but. I could see a 20-point foul differential in either one of those games and just makes me want to punch myself in the face as we got to play the Pelicans to survive.
Yeah, which we're playing the Lakers this week, which honestly, we're a good matchup for the Lakers I think the Lakers are a good matchup for us in a way of they can't shoot. So the Kings can sag and protect the paint and bring more bodies to the paint and force the Lakers into shooting jump shots, which everybody does. And so that helps because we know how bad the Kings are defending the three. So, you know, Bob Myers told us that and everything Bob Myers says is facts. So
told us again.
I've just been thinking about it on nonstop. I'm like, oh, what's Bob Myers? I wonder what he's thinking about the Kings defensive, 3-point, percentage. Wonder what he's, diving into which stat it is today. But I don't know. We'll see. We beat the Lakers twice this year, and I think we're going to beat them again this year, and we'll have some positive awards to give out, you know, next Sunday.
Beat the fucking Chicago Bulls tomorrow, for the love of God. It's at home. I've had multiple days off. Please just fucking win. I don't think my heart could take it if we have another one of those games where we just don't win against a team we need to win down the stretch. Please beat the Bulls tomorrow.
Yeah, please. That would be a tremendous letdown.
That would be a terrible way to start the week. A terrible way.
But yeah, thanks for putting up with my bad audio.
I think you sounded pretty good.
All righty. Well, I appreciate it. I felt like there's less pressure. I'm having a nice phone call. This is. You know, there wasn't as much pressure being behind the mic. I'm just talking into the headphones.
Caleb in his element, just
in my car. This is definitely in my element. I actually feel a little bit more comfortable. So maybe I just move my to a mobile setup in the car, and start an Uber podcast too on the weekends.
That'd be fucking sick. That'd be fucking sick.
All right, thanks for listening. Hunter, good catching up. Peace.